Have you ever asked yourself the question, what is the will of God? It might be some kind of circumstance in your life, in the church, in the world, and you ask yourself, what is the will of God? Some have quick responses. They've thought it out, they think they understand, and they quickly respond, this is the will of God. While others of us might be a little bit less certain. Two recent experiences have helped me further think about the will of God. When Peg was so seriously ill, I observed the collaborative effort of an Indian, an Asian, and a Caucasian doctor working with nurses from all ethnicity, technicians, and specialists for the well-being of Peg. Their commitment to not let culture and egos get in the way, and instead to partnership for the wholeness that was possible for Peg at that time, certainly gave me a glimpse in how the will of God was truly in our presence. On Saturday of her hospital stay, three blocks from the hospital, a synagogue whose social ministry had been to reach out and to care for the well-being of immigrants, offering hospitality and services, was entered by a man full of fear and anger and delusional thinking that these immigrants would destroy his people. He took action, bearing arms that riddled 11 lives with fatal bullets and at least six others with non-fatal wounds, including four police officers. In these horrific circumstances, it was clear to me that the act of the man was not fulfilling the will of God. Almost immediately then, I can imagine you're asking yourselves, what is the will of God? Thus enters the creation story. God in Genesis is recorded as creating everything, including human beings, when he breathes the breath of his own life into that which he created. And he looked at it all, and he said, "It is good." In other words, his creative work represents what is good, and he affirms it. In his creative work is the presence, is the heart, is the life of the will of God. Today's scripture from John's gospel gives us further clarification as to creation and its purpose. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I like to occasionally work with the scripture trying to uncover and understand deeper meaning. And I wondered if it's possible John could have said this a bit differently. In the beginning, the will of God was at work in the Word, which he sent to the earth to be a full expression of his good and his perfect will. The scripture clarifies that the Word is Jesus, and he was sent to help us find our way through the myriad of experiences, trying to figure out in this maze of life, where is it the will of God and where is it not the will of God? How am I living the will of God and how am I not living the will of God? The other scripture that was read this morning clarifies very clearly that the Word became flesh. And I believe it's saying the will of God became flesh and came to dwell among us full of grace and truth. So that those who believed in him, and what I would add, believed to the point of receiving him, he gave power to become children of God. Are you a child of God? Now, this still does not help answer the question of why does God's will for health, the safe home, to live in our home creation, and to be safe and work for collaborative well-being of all humanity, and then bad things still happen. Where is God in all of that? Is it God's will that people get cancer and die? That a young man is texting while driving at a fairly high rate of speed, slams into a motorcycle that is attempting to turn, and kills one of our Church of the Brethren members? Is that the will of God? Is it God's will that issues too complex for most of us to figure out with the snap of a finger is working at splitting our world, splitting our country, and yes, even splitting the church? After all, don't we all make up the body of Christ as church? Isn't Christ the head of the church? And the question that bothers me and even runs more deeply for me, are we doing God a favor to become judge and jury of God's perfect will? At least to try to impose upon God, God, this is the way you need to think and believe because this is what I want. Wasn't that the delusional thinking of the man who entered the temple? Or how about the fact that in good faith, we choose a pastor and that pastor comes, and we believed when we made that choice it was the will of God. And I certainly believe it was possible. But choices and ways of doing things become uncertain for some while comfortable for others. Does that mean the will of God was not truly there when the choice was made? Now, I'm not suggesting that I have a perfect answer to these questions. In fact, I struggle with these questions on a daily basis. In our Romans text, the wise Apostle Paul asked the Roman Christians to surrender themselves, body, mind, and spirit. He's saying, don't let the world guide your thinking. Paul challenges, be changed. Be transformed from the inside out, and let your minds be refreshed and centered in Christ so that we can possibly decide what is the will of God. And here I remind us that that challenge wasn't given to individuals. That challenge was given to the church. Well, there is a hint in that scripture. Surrender yourself. Let your minds be refreshed. In other words, keep asking questions. Keep reading. Keep observing. Keep talking. Keep listening within the context of the body. For there we begin to get hints. We begin to see. The scales fall from our eyes. We begin to understand at least some of what is the will of God. But I want to go just a bit deeper. When I was a young pastor, I stumbled into a very small book. You can probably read it in one setting if you can get beyond the language of a Londoner talking from a pulpit. And some of the sexist language and some of the focus on war, because that was what was real in 1942 when this book was written. But in that book, I began to discover something that helped me more clearly understand the will of God. According to Adam Hamilton, in the foreword of the book, Weatherhead's purpose was to make sense of the tension between the belief in a good and loving God and the reality of a suffering world. Weatherhead concluded from his study of Scripture and observation about life that there were three understandings of the good and the perfect will of God, the intentional, the circumstantial, and the ultimate will of God. He named this as what God intended. The Creator God wanted the goodness of His creation to continue. People be well. People be obedient and not sinful. People being happy, living in strong relationship, peace to prevail on earth, and His will honored on earth as willed from heaven. That is the intentional will of God. The Creator's reason for giving life for the world. But it's only three chapters into Genesis and that we discover that obedience is not so easy. We human beings think we know best, think we know how to tell God what to believe, think we know how to control and manage God to be what we want God to be. So Jesus came into the world, not to die on the cross. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus came into the world not to die on the cross, but for people to follow His example. And He journeyed. And He lived. And when it came time, He gave His life up to be faithful to God, even on the cross. To learn what it meant to love God and neighbor, to forgive and pray for those who sin against us was His teaching. Now enters the circumstantial will of God. God did not create us to be puppets. He gave us the freedom of choice. Sin and thoughtlessness and carelessness and brokenness and stubbornness and egos and such as list goes on undermines God's good and perfect will. When I was in college, one of our professor's brother's wife and three daughters were traveling on a highway. And little did they know on the same highway was a human being that was filled with great internal pain. And he had drunken himself into a stupor that did not allow him to drive at 100 miles an hour, which he was driving. And he slammed into the back of this car and he killed all but the father. How does one explain such horrible tragedy? It certainly was not the will of God. This is what Weatherhead identified as the circumstantial will of God. When circumstances as this brought about by bad choices are very tragic, then the broken bodies that could no longer sustain life were held in the arms of a loving God. The goodness of people reached out to the grieving father. Trained professionals helped this man walk with the impossible that probably most of us could not handle. And one day, some many years later, he married again and had children who loved him, and he loved them. The drunken driver, we know nothing about. I am sure he got a manslaughter charge. I'm sure he ended up probably in jail for the rest of his life. But I wonder, did anyone respond, and did he hear the response of anyone? We just don't know. Back to the cross. The cross was not God's choice, but the evil choice of those who did not want another way of living to take hold in society. Those who wanted him on the cross made fun of him. They challenged him to use his powers to save himself from the cross. Instead, he committed his life into God's hands, faithful to God even to the death on Calvary. He took on our sins and carried them into death, offering up the grace of forgiveness. And then it happened. The ultimate will of God. God's desire that we have a way to live our life forward out of tragedy, circumstances of great consequences to our health, relationships, and the darkness of evil. It is called the ultimate will of God. It is the resurrection, life beyond the grave, evil, unwanted tragedy. Now, the question I have to ask myself, even in the proclamation of this sermon, do I have the faith to walk into God's future where His ultimate will prevail? There's not enough time to cover this topic more in depth, but I hope some seeds have been planted to maybe stir us a little bit, to think a little bit more beyond where we are presently. I'm even willing to provide a faith formation experience where we spend some time with this little classic, still relevant book from 1942, if any might be interested. However, I want us to get a glimpse of God's perfect will as penned in the hand of Weatherhead in his powerful book. He pens, "I know that right is right, that givers shall increase, that duty lights the way for the beautiful feet of peace, that courage is better than fear, and faith is truer than doubt. And fierce though the fiends may fight, and long though the angels hide, I know that truth and right have the universe on their side, and that somewhere beyond the stars is a love that is stronger than hate. When the night unlocks her bars, I shall see him, and I wait."